All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We're going to go and get started now with this evening's service. Hope and pray that you are having a blessed week. I know that I am. And so let's go ahead and continue now with our announcements, and then we will get to the message that we have prepared for you this evening. And so with that said, let's go ahead and direct our attention to the screen. Sure, appreciate if you're able to turn there with us now. We're just going to go over some quick announcements here. Don't forget church calendar. We kindly announce this to you guys weekly. And then love, y'all remember, we're going to start provoking y'all every day as the Lord's return is soon. And some of y'all are no longer babes, amen. Some of y'all are no longer toddlers. You guys are, or no, y'all are toddlers now, no longer babes. Y'all are on it. And so, guys, don't forget your church schedule for working for Jesus, evangelism, if you will, soul winning and ministry opportunities with your home church. Tomorrow is our every other Thursday sun soul winning at the Sunset Market, or soul winning at the Sunset Market, rather. We're going to meet here at the church at 5 o'clock, and then we go downtown there. We carpool, and we are usually done by around 6:45, 7, just depending upon how we're ministering to people. Sometimes conversations carry over for a little bit. Sometimes they don't. And so with that said, that's kind of the general timing, if you will. So we get here to pray. Obviously, we need to pray before we go evangelism, before we go soul winning. We need to spend time in prayer asking God to open up their hearts. We don't want to just go out there, amen, on a whim. So let's go ahead and come together, pray, get our gospel track, get our signs, and then go down there with a heart of faith and then see what the Lord can do through us. And then we call it a day. Ladies, don't forget this Friday is the Ladies Fellowship with Grace Baptist Church. If you can let my wife know no later than tomorrow to confirm, and then we'll, again, cover you, and then we'll plan for carpooling. And it sounds to me that the majority of the ladies are going. And so with that said, I promised the men a barbecue. And so we'll do just that, and I will get with the men and invite them to my house. And us guys will have a good fellowship at my house, have a barbecue, have a good fellowship, have some Bible study there, and just have a good time. So hopefully everything goes well. And then, again, a last-minute surprise visit from my Bible school pastor teacher, Brother James W. Knox, visiting from Florida. He's going to be ministering in Santa Ana, California at I forgot the name of the church right now. I forgot what it's called right now, but it's a church up there, and he's going to be ministering there on the 19th, 20th, and 21st. So this Saturday for the soul winning, it's going to be cut short because we're going to leave up a little earlier. So we're only going to do the morning half, like that 10 to 12 slot, and then we're going to get ourselves ready to drive up to Santa Ana. So if you guys would like to join my wife and I, just let me know. It'd be a blessing for some of our folks to come up there to show some love, and y'all can meet, if you will, the one who has been instructing me for the past couple of years. And then also the Sunday night service, we're going to be leaving immediately after church. Again, if you would like to attend, you're more than welcome to, and I sure appreciate you. And then lastly, don't forget special visit from our friend from Corona, California, Grace Baptist Church, ministering to our church on the 28th. So please invite and come, and let's continue to see what the Lord has in store for us. Amen. It sure was a blessing once again to see Brother Giovanni lead the communion service last Sunday. It's always good to see the men use the gifts God given them to step up and help minister, and that really encouraged my heart. So thank you again, brother. Study blogs, don't forget, I'm posting these a lot more frequently now, and so I hope and pray that you will take a heed, and if you will, be encouraged and admonished and challenged by these, if you will, outlines and study blogs that I'm posting for your benefit, and there they are. Live stream links, you guys can already check them out anytime, Facebook, podcast, and YouTube. If you need prayer, don't forget, guys, please submit a prayer request. We would like to be in prayer with you and in prayer for you. If you need prayer, ladies, call my wife. Men, call me. Again, we are a family. And then last but not least, church, if you are a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in whatever you purpose within your heart to give of your finances for the support of this local church ministry. If I have continued to be a blessing to you in your spiritual growth, help us by taking care of our financial needs for what we got to get going for this church, for tracks, for giving, and for rent, etc. So back there's a box. Anytime you can do that, Venmo, PayPal, online cash between you and the Lord, just know that God will supply your need so you can abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. And so when you get that pay raise, when you get more hours on the clock, just know the Lord's blessing you to keep giving, not to pull away, but to continue. So just know God's going to take care of you. Amen. You guys already know we don't pass the hat. It's between you and the Lord. Amen. And other than that, guys, let's go ahead and get right into it. I hope and pray that tonight you are doing well. I hope everything finds you well this evening. Amen. And so with that said, church, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles and open up to the book of Deuteronomy. Tonight is going to be a part one. I'm going to take another quick break from our book study of the book of Acts. I think this is a very necessary study that I prepared for you. And tonight, the title of the message is Eyes to See and Ears to Hear. Eyes to See and Ears to Hear. If you can do me a favor, turn there all the way to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to go through a part one tonight of the emphasis of why it is important to read our Bible every single day. The emphasis of learning the Bible, the emphasis of studying the Bible, the emphasis of setting apart time for private devotion between us and our God, and the emphasis of hearing the Bible. So I'm going to cover all those great verses, but just know here is a general, if you will, application of how you can intake the Word of God. Number one, by first of all, reading it yourself. Number two, hearing it. And the number three, doing it. So the main threefold, if you will, blessing of your personal approach to your God in heaven is reading the Word of God. Number two, hearing the Word of God taught to you or preached to you or read to you. And then number three, you doing what the Word of God commands you to do. So those three things are going to help you. We're going to start off tonight in our Bible train in Deuteronomy chapter 28. But before we do, allow me to open up here with a little preface and then we will pray. So here we have just a brief devotion. I'm going to go ahead and begin from the Old Testament. Even though the majority of what we're going to read is the law given to the nation of Israel, we are going to look at it for a spiritual application for us as New Testament Christians. So don't forget, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells you this, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, every time we come to church, here's what we need to do. We ought to examine ourselves and how far we've all come along in our personal building program. You say, what do you mean, Brother Carlos? I'm talking about the inner man in your body. How far along are you tonight in your building program process? Would you say that you're 5% a little bit more spiritual, 10% a little bit more spiritual, maybe halfway there? Here's one thing that's for sure. Just like the Apostle Paul stated in Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So all of us tonight, we are all in the process of being renewed by the Holy Ghost within our lives. We are all in the process of being sanctified by His presence within our lives. We are all being molded and shaped and conformed after the image of Christ. But one thing that will assist the Holy Spirit's job in our life in that process is our willful yielding and submission to the commands of the Holy Bible. And so wherever you see yourself in that building program, if I'm just giving you a quick illustration, analogy, if you will, when you measure yourself where how much you've come thus far in your private walk with God since the day you got saved, you ought to be at least a little bit more spiritual than the first day you started. You say, what do you mean, Brother Carlos? In other words, all you knew about the Bible was Jesus is the Son of God who died for your sins. If you want to go to heaven, you got to trust His name and the gospel. That's generally what you and I knew. So you obviously didn't know everything else as it begins to present to you of now how do you dress with your body? Should you continue listening to certain music, you know, and other things like that, right? So in all that practical, how far have you come in your building program? All of us here tonight are and should be desiring to apprehend more of what we don't have of Christ. And that's what I quoted you earlier in Philippians chapter 3. So tonight, that's what I would like to talk with you about. And I've titled tonight's message, Eyes to See and Ears to Hear. My question to you tonight for every single one of you is, do you have eyes to see and do you have ears to hear what God wants for you from the Bible? And I hope that you do so. The emphasis tonight is not what would Brother Carlos say about my situation or circumstance, nor should it be what does your spouse or family members feel about it, or even your friends. Tonight's emphasis is what did God say about it, and notice how I use this in the past tense. Why? Because He has already revealed His thoughts, His words, and judgments from heaven, and had those words preserved throughout time so that you could have a copy of it, and you can know the truth, that you might be able to judge yourself by the standard of what is right and wrong, truth versus falsities. And with that said, let's start tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 58. We'll read the verse and then we'll pray. Deuteronomy 28:58, the Word of God says here, If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Let's open up with prayer once again. Abba, Father, I thank you so much for those who were able to attend tonight. We pray for those who were unable to make it here tonight, God, that are a part of this home church. I ask and pray your Holy Spirit will begin to prepare my heart to minister the word of God accurately and profitable in my speech and my delivery. Wherever I have human error, God, may your Holy Spirit take the living word and deliver into their spirit as they need to hear it for their personal life. Father, I thank you for Sister Eileen and Brother Giovanni. God, would you please bless them this evening and please open up their hearts to hear and to see wonderful things from the Holy Bible that would draw their hearts to Jesus, that would help them to continue to grow in the faith and in the calling that you've placed upon their life, as well as my wife. And may you, God, have your will and way with our church corporately. Please continue to keep us united together in the love of Jesus. Keep us able to forgive one another in the love of Jesus. Help us to be able to serve you in soul winning in the love of Jesus, to step up in our giving and our involvement for the love of Christ. Tonight, God, we need to be more like Jesus, and I'm hoping that this Bible series will help the members to do just that. So we invite and ask the Holy Spirit now to continue to teach us from the Holy Bible, and we thank you ahead of time in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice here what the Lord told Moses to tell the people of Israel a long time ago. He's declaring to him all the words. You see there? Not some of the words, all the words of this law that are written in this book, so that way they can what? Fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. I want you to see tonight, friend, that that's God's intent for his people in delivering his words in written form so that they might fear his holy and righteous person. The overall theme for the revelation of God's words to mankind is so that we might learn who the true God is, both in essence and judgment, that our lives might change to conform to his will, his nature, his person, for the joy and satisfaction of our soul. I want to point out to you two places that you can look up later, and you can study this tonight when you listen to the recording if you want to take notes. There's two unique statements found in the Bible concerning God giving the holy word to the people. The finger of God is what the Bible says when God wrote the Ten Commandments. Remember that? Exodus 31:18, Deuteronomy 9:10. And then it's the writing of God. You can find that in Exodus 32:16. So when you begin to read your Bible, try to approach it within that mental approach. What I am reading is literally the writing of God. What I am reading is what the finger of God penned for me to know who he is, so that I can learn how to fear his name. I can learn how to live in a life that is pleasing to him. Everything. General overview number two of the theme of the Holy Bible. If I could, if you ask me, Brother Carlos, give me a summary of how to approach the Bible. Here's how I would do it. A general overview theme of the Holy Bible is God declaring or revealing his name. And so you're going to see that later in Exodus 34 when Moses went up to the mountain and the Lord descended and the Lord declared there, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. If I could give you a general division of the Bible, it would be this: learning that the God of the Bible is merciful and gracious. He is ready to pardon sinners their sins. But the last half of what you read there in Exodus 34, he's also just. He's also holy. He's also righteous and ready to judge sinners for their sins if they reject and believe not in him. And you guys can read that in Exodus 34, 4 through. Let me just get you the last verse there quickly. I'm going to go back here and read it quickly here to confirm that. Exodus 34, if you read there from verse 6 through 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. So that's a general theme. In other words, so when I read the Bible, it's showing me two things about God. He is merciful, he is gracious, but he's also holy and righteous. He will forgive me if I love him and respond to him in faith, but he will judge me if I hate him and rebel against him. In other words, there's consequences for either two. Okay, let's go now to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Read with me now in verse number 29. Deuteronomy 29:29. The Bible says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So whatever God did not reveal in his Holy Bible should be of no concern for us, since in his infinite wisdom, he decided what was sufficient for us to obtain and to learn about him perfectly. We would do well to simply trust and believe in what we already have available in our hands versus seeking to entertain what we do not have because of itching ears, the itching hearts of vain imaginations with supposed extra dreams or visions or revelations people claim to receive outside of what's been given and revealed in the Bible. What God has written and preserved is enough for you and I to know. There's something unique about Christianity today where people want to find things in the Bible that's not there. They want to listen to some preacher or pastor teacher on YouTube, social media, because they have secret wisdom or revelation that God didn't put in the Bible that's sufficient for you to learn, which makes you feel like you're not as spiritual as they are because, you know, they got some inside scoops that you don't. But can I tell you something? The secret things belong to God, and what's been revealed belongs to you. How about that? That's a very good nugget, right? In other words, if it's not there, it's not there for a reason. And you can trust God for that reason. But what is there, you ought to start paying attention. Amen. You want a side nugget? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5 quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And read this. This is just a quick side nugget verse. Deuteronomy 5 verse 22. The Bible says, "These words of the Lord spake unto all your assembly." "These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice," and listen, "and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me." That's a very good verse for the principle of what God has revealed to you. Everything you find in the Bible, that's for you. The secret things, they belong to God. If it's not in the Bible, it's fine. He added no more. So what he's revealed to you is enough for you to now go off of to have a victorious life. Amen? That's a great verse to take the brethren to, the people who want to question, if you will, their pastor on, well, why isn't that in the Bible? Or what about this? And I don't know why Christians seek to question God on what's not in the Bible, you know, for the secret stuff, because for some reason they care less about what he's already revealed about, you know, how they ought to treat their spouse, how they ought to raise their children, how they ought to be a good and faithful church member. For some reason, brethren want to entertain more about the giants of these days, or what about certain angels, and what about the Antichrist agenda and the governments and all the blah, blah, blah. No, fool, you don't need that. You and I need to start working on coming to church regularly, being faithful, reading our Bible daily, and doing what has been revealed. You guys understand what I'm saying? All right, now let's go now to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30, for those of you that are coming in, we are just talking about the overall emphasis of why we need to read our Bibles every day, and we're going to learn that together now. We're going to do a quick series on why that's important for us and what's the will of God in giving you the written Word of God to help you by. What is it overall to help you to do or to discover? And we just saw earlier in a verse, it's to learn how to fear God. It's to learn how to appreciate who He is and therefore conforming your life to please Him. And so we're learning that together in a nutshell. All right, now, Deuteronomy 30, hope you have your Bible open. Look with me now in verse number 11. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. Bible says here, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off." I don't know why brethren say, "Where is it, brother? Where is it?" I don't see it, Brother Carlos. Where is that commandment? It's right there. "Is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it?" Brother Carlos, I don't know what I should do in my marriage. I don't know what I should do in the workplace. I don't know what I should do here at church. Brother, don't be asking to go up to space now to just try to get a little bit more closer to God, right? He gave it to you, amen. He brought it from heaven. He gave it to you right there. There it is. "Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear and do it." Now listen, verse 14. "But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart." And now let's read that last part together. "That thou mayest do it." Once again, church, what are the three things that I said to you earlier? The three things that I said to you earlier are this: reading the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, and doing the Word of God. Let's say that one more time. Reading the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, and doing the Word of God. Those are going to be the three elements that God expects for you on a daily basis as a child of God, as a fellow Christian now on this side of the cross, right? To grow in your faith and to grow in your knowledge of Him, to grow in your understanding, so you can live a life that shows that you fear Him and that you love Him by how much The Word of God is beginning to enlighten you in that area. So there you have it. We don't have any excuse as to where we need to try and find out the truth or the will of God for our lives as if it's not available to access right now where you're sitting. We don't have to Google search it. We don't have to spend vain hours of our time on YouTube or TikTok or whatever social media you're trying to look at. We don't even have to learn the tongues of old, you know, the Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic, in order to really understand, does that word really means what it means, brother? We have it right there available for us. But you know what our problem is? Our problem is this. As soon as you and I are exposed or corrected or reproved or admonished from its revelation, we seek to turn aside to an alternative source of spiritual revelation to nullify the truth that we found in the Bible. We don't have to travel thousands of miles to learn at the feet of some great teacher. We need simply to bow the knee wherever we live and search him wholeheartedly at the altar of our heart to learn from him his will for our lives. Church, the Word of God has been revealed, and it's available to be accessed from where? Read with me one more time quickly. Look at verse 14. Where is it? The Word is nigh unto thee. It is in thy mouth and in thy heart. It's right there. So the next time you say, Brother Carlos, I don't know. No, you do know. There's just some stubbornness going on. There's just some laziness on your part for not wanting to discover more of what God has given you access to. There you have it, brother. You can't blame your lack of intelligence, sister. You can't blame your lack of, I didn't go to school, Brother Carlos. I don't have my, no, you don't need no degrees. You have a soul and you're alive. God gave you wisdom. Amen, sister. Go ahead. Three things: reading the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, and doing the Word of God. Reading, hearing, and doing. Amen. All right, friend, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16. This is the next verse now. Again, and so what we're doing, guys, is just taking a quick overall view of why God gave you the Bible and why he wants you to study the Bible. He gave you the commands. He gave you the understanding. Now, obviously, this side of the cross, as a Christian, he gave you the Holy Spirit to enlighten you on understanding who he is so you can learn and what? Fearing his name. Who he is in glory, who he is in righteousness, so your life can change the more you learn about it. And so here we are, Deuteronomy 11, verse 16. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. I want you to notice this oft-repeated warning that God warned Israel about and the New Testament church. The warning is to take heed to yourself. Ironically, much of the time, the warning to take heed of ourselves is directed at us, the individual, from letting our hearts turn away from his commands. Of course, outside influences will play a role or a part in the process of your decision making. But ultimately, friend, come on, let's be honest. You and I both know that it is our individual willpower that will control the decision at the end of the day of what our hearts want to do. It's our personal responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God by keeping ourselves in love with his word. Let me repeat that. It is our personal responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God by keeping ourselves in love with the Word of God. You cannot blame your spouse, brother or sister. You cannot blame your children. You cannot blame your family or your friends, your workplace or your government for not giving you enough time. You and I need to make time available of personal, sincere dedication to our God. We can't blame our spouses, our children, our family, Satan, devils, culture. You can't blame no one else for you not taking heed to him personally. But here's what it is. I find, now listen, this is Brother Carlos. I find that when I choose to rebel against his word privately in my life, it's usually because in those moments, I hate God. You say, whoa, Carlos, what are you saying? What do you mean? Remember what Jesus taught us in the gospel records about love and hate concerning himself as having priority over others. You can turn there, or I'm just going to read it to you quickly. He said in Luke 14, 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. But read another verse, Matthew 10, 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So that's why I said in the times when I find myself rebelling against God, you know why? It's because I hate God. I love others more than I love Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? So whoever or whatever that might be between you and God, let's be honest, sometimes when you find yourself rebelling against God, Jesus told us why. Because you came to him, but for some reason, your heart went back. Remember, don't take heed to yourself that your heart doesn't turn aside. It went back, I just want to spend more time with my spouse. I want to spend more time with my children, my family. I want to get some OT hours in the workplace. And because of my financial desires, I'm going to put aside the desire for Jesus and the Holy Bible. There you have it. Jesus told you why. Because you hate him at that time. And you love father, mother. You love you more than you love him. So what do I need to do? I need to hate more. Sounds weird, huh, at church? I thought we're supposed to love. Yeah, you are. Jesus, though, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. God the Father, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The Holy Ghost, the Bible. I need to hate my life. I need to hate my family, my friends, my coworkers. I need to love less. All those things, so that way I don't prioritize them over who? Jesus. And it's because in those moments when I choose to love self or others or things more than Jesus, no wonder why I'm not growing. No wonder why I'm not growing in my conviction to be more holier in my conduct, more righteous in the way I treat my spouse and everything else. You guys understand? Oh, how we must guard ourselves from the deception of self-love and increase in the pursuit of denial of self, what Paul said, dying daily. So, ironically, my question again is, when you woke up this morning, did you wake up ready to die? You say to what? You, self. And then, whatever else your heart desires more than Christ. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 17. You already know, Brother Carlos, make it easy for you, left to right. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Take heed, the Bible says, to what? Your heart. Don't let it turn to the left. Don't let it turn to the right. So let's read again. Deuteronomy 17, verse number 20. It's good to see those pages turning, amen. All right, now the Bible says that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. When you guys read that in context, God is telling Moses what to do for the Hebrew king. What would he need? He needs to get a copy of the Bible. Why? So he can learn how to fear God and live his life in a manner that is acceptable before God. Because here's what happens. He's telling Israel, and then you and I, Christian, we can get some application. He gave you a copy. And why does he want you to be meditating in his Bible every single day? Because your heart can turn aside to the left or to the right hand quickly. And before you know it, you're out of the will of God, and you're out of the way that God wants you to walk in. And before you know it, you don't know what you're doing. And that's why other things go on in your life, and that's why you find yourself becoming more emotional, and if you will, more meditating upon other things and sin and condemnation more than Jesus and the Bible, because you chose to take the copy available to you and ignore it. And hence, like I said earlier, you hated him more because you loved self and me and others more. So what do we need to start doing? I need to love Jesus more. I need to hate all else, that is, just love them less. I need to take this copy. I need to meditate upon it day and night so that God can help me from letting my heart turn to the left or turn to the right. All right? Deuteronomy 29. Making it easy, y'all. You already know. Deuteronomy 29. Let's keep going. We're doing good so far. Again, this is a part one to this series because I got a lot of notes. And if you sow a seed, amen, I may give you a copy. Amen. Sow a seed. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Look with me now, verse number 18. Bible says here in Deuteronomy 29, verse number 18, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. What are we talking about? The warning of your heart turning away to want to be like someone else who is not a follower and a believer of God like you are. So what happens is when we take our hearts off the Bible and you begin to meditate more upon social entertainment, your unbelieving families and our friends, we're conversing with them more, we're spending time with them more, that's in darkness and versus the light. Before you know it, you're going to want to go back like that. Before you know it, you're going to want to dress like that again. Before you know it, you're going to want to entertain yourself with all those things because you've been hanging out over here more in darkness than the light. And so what should I do? What should I encourage you to do, brother and sister? Again, free will, but I would encourage you to spend more time with Christians than unbelieving. families and our friends. I know some of you do love your family members dearly. I know they mean a lot to you. But if they're in darkness, there is no pursuit to righteousness. There's no pursuit to help you to be godly and modest as a female or a male and stirring you up for Jesus, then I'm going to hang out here for the dinner time and I'm going to bounce because I got my church tonight. I got soul winning tonight. I'm going to be around people that are going to help me to keep my heart from turning away from God to keep it on God because I don't want to be like the world anymore. I don't want to be like that. So notice, I'm just talking about now the warning for your heart. And for Israel, they wanted to be like the nations. Remember that? The heathen, all the ungodly people. And that's why God kept telling them, stay on the book, stay on the book. Okay, look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 17. Deuteronomy 30, verse 17. The Bible says here, but if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them. Let me ask you a question, church. What turns away first? Is it the hear? Is it the eye? Is it the mouth? Is it your hands? Is it your money? Or is it the heart? God said, if you're following with me, your heart. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou will not hear. So here's how it happens. I hate Jesus because I love me more. I love my spouse more. I love my children more. I love my workplace more. I'm devoting more of my time, my commitment, my money to everything and everyone else aside from Jesus and the Bible. And before you know it, my heart begins to turn back to what? Dedication for all them. And I don't want to disappoint them. And I want to please them. And I want to be accepted over here. And you just forgot. But God, what did he do for you on the inside that they couldn't do for you, but only satisfy you on the outside? It begins to turn you. And then when your heart turns from him, what begins to not want to listen to him anymore? Your ears. What begins to not want to watch him anymore? Your eyes. And then before you know it, you're out of church or you're out of fellowship. Your hands and feet go along because your heart, it turned away over here a week ago, 5 weeks ago, a month ago. What do you need to guard? Your heart. I want to focus in on, I want to hone in on a little bit more about the heart turning away. And then what is the consequence of your heart turning away? You're not going to want to hear anymore. And then you're going to be drawn away because your heart's on other things. Where do these words ring true, friend, from the Old Testament to the New? Concerning our hearts turning away when we are drawn for something or someone else. Our hearts turn from him when we choose to doubt him, when we choose to rebel against his counsel, when we choose not to trust in him with our whole heart. Turn your Bible with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This is a famous verse. Many of you should know this. You're going to hear a lot of Christians quote it. And even the brethren who quoted from those other translations, they got the gist of it. It's really good. It's one of the most universal known memory verses like John 3:16. Everybody generally knows Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. God bless you, sister. Bible says here, my friend, in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what the remedy is? When you come talk to Brother Carlos, and you're having a little spiritual sickness in your life, what am I going to tell you? What is Katie going to tell you? Trust in God. Do not lean on your own understanding. You say, whoa, that was deep wisdom. I know, that's the Bible. What should I do about this, Brother Carlos? Trust in God. Don't do what you feel like doing. But Brother Carlos, trust in God and don't do what you feel like doing. God said he will lead you in the right way. God said he'll direct your feet in the right way. He'll protect you, brother and sister. But what do you need to do first? Trust in him and don't lean. Now, can I ask you something? If I'm leaning this way, is it possible for me to lean that way? No. If I'm leaning this way, is it possible for me to lean that way? No. Why? Because I'm leaning to one side. So can I ask you guys something? If my heart is trusting in God with all, am I going to be drawn away to those other things if I'm trusting in him and then leaning in him? No, I'm not. I'm not going to be drawn this way if my heart is over here with the Lord. So there you have it. Trust in him. Oh, how we are drawn away from him. We're drawn when sin goes uncontrolled in our thoughts, our desires, our lusts of the flesh and of the mind, when we fail to apply this verse in the action below. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. And we're going to just We're going to do a little quick side negatorial on this Deuteronomy 30:17, the heart drawing away, and then the heart turning, you're not hearing, and then you being drawn. We're going to talk quickly about that. The first point was trusting in God, Proverbs 3. The second point is controlling those thoughts, 2 Corinthians 10, to the right-hand side. And if we're going too quick, don't be shy. Y'all can just listen. That's all right. Remember, reading, hearing, amen, reading, hearing. Don't be shy. 2 Corinthians 10, I got all the notes too. If you need them, I'll give them to you after church, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, read with me in verse number 4. Actually, let's do a little bit earlier, verse number 3, real good reminder. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. The Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So now, as a Christian, as a born-again sinner filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God, God has given you the power, brother and sister, to now control the thoughts so your heart doesn't turn to the right or to the left. And that way, you don't all of a sudden allow yourself to be drawn back to the things of this world. But what is our problem? At times, we hate him. We love self or others more. And that's why we don't want to control those thoughts, because our heart wants those thoughts. And that's sad. But I'm telling you, Christian, you can do that. You can control yourself. You can control your thoughts. You can control the desires and bring them to who? Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the head. He is your high priest. He's the one that's going to help you to overcome. James 1. "But Brother Carlos, you don't know." "She made me do it." "Brother Carlos, you don't know. He made me do it." "Brother Carlos, you offended me, and that's why I..." Okay, James chapter 1. I hear you. I know what you're saying, brother, sister. I'm right there with you. I'm Brother Moat. I'm Brother Natural. I'm Brother Wicked Man. Don't look to me. Look to Christ. Don't look to Brother Giovanni. Look to Christ. Don't look to Eileen. Look to Christ. Don't look to Maribel. Look to Christ. We all need to look to Christ. And how do we do that? Well, he ain't here right now. But we have the Bible. That's what I told you back there in Deuteronomy. He gave us that word from heaven and gave it to you so you can find it. He gave it to you right here in your heart so you can desire it. James chapter 1. Look with me now, friend. Verse number 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." With what? Evil. He doesn't do that. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away." Whoa, where did we just read that? Deuteronomy 30:17. New Testament, Old Testament. "Drawn away of his own lust and enticed." So, brother and sister, that's what happens. When you don't choose to read your Bible every day, when you don't choose to want to serve Christ the way you should and do all the things that the Christian life is all about, New Testament revelation, it's because you choose to hate him at that moment. You choose to love self or other things or people more than him in that moment. And because your heart goes uncontrolled and your thoughts go uncontrolled, you're drawn away after your own lust, the Bible says. It says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own. It doesn't say because of someone else outside of you. It doesn't say because of your government or your lack of money, or I don't have enough money, or I don't have enough education, or I don't have... No, no. You do. Look at verse 15. "And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Look at verse 16. "Do not err, my beloved brethren." You're still beloved. You're still saved. But you might go erring, brother. You might go erring, sister. What does that mean? You just strayed from the path. You've erred from that narrow way, if you will. So the Holy Ghost commanded Christians, don't blame no one but yourself. All right, maybe he doesn't sound like that. That's Brother Carlos. But when we choose rebellion against trust in the words of God, you know what the Holy Spirit said? Don't do it. Don't err, brother. Don't err, sister. Don't do it. We can't blame Lucifer. You can't blame pastors or teachers or deacons or church members because I don't agree with that teaching and I don't agree with what he said or she said. No. You could only blame self-enticements when you're drawn away rather than being drawn to Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. All right, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And just know, brother and sister, I'm right there with you. If you feel a little convicted, don't worry, I'm right there with you. When I was preparing this message, don't worry, guys, I was right there. I was like, my God, is your Bible good? And brethren, you know what helped me to want to change my life? You know what helped increase modesty within my life? And Katie, the Word of God. You know what helped me to want to stop watching the worldliness of the entertainments with the gods and the entertainments of the DC and the Marvel? Just personally, just Brother Carlos says, it's me reading the Bible. And when I see God redeeming the Hebrews out of Egypt and telling them, don't be like them, and they were all about the gods, and they were all about dressing like that. They were all about having sex and getting drunk and all of that partying, and they were all about that, all the nations around them. And God said, just keep your eyes on me, keep your eyes on me. I'm going to make you better. I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to make you holy. You're going to learn from me. But what was their problem? What was Israel's problem all those years? And all those years, the heart turns from him and is drawn away back to those things. And Christian, same thing going to happen. That's why the Holy Ghost told you in James, don't err. So that's what helped me to change my life. It's just reading the Bible every day. Yes, Bible school helps. Yes, listening to preaching helps. But guys, it's my private heart devotion and just saying, Lord Jesus, would you instruct me today? Because I don't want to be like the guy I was yesterday. I don't want to be like the guy I was 5 years ago. I don't want to listen to bad words anymore. I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to watch nakedness on that. I don't want to. And that's why my wife and I have changed our life a lot, and it's been working out. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 31. Look with me in verse 12. Bible says, gather the people together, men and women, children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Church, God wants all of you to be at church. He wants you to be at church all the time, as much as you can be. Whenever the doors are open, you ought to be there. Why? So you can hear more, you can learn more, and you can do more. Okay, my spouse is not here. You can come. You bring your children. Okay, but my other person doesn't want to come. My siblings, that's all right. You come. You keep coming. You keep learning. You keep growing. You keep learning how to fear and serve God. But Brother Carlos, it's only me with you and Katie on Saturday. That's all right. You keep coming. You keep learning. You keep growing so you can serve and fear God. The Lord's going to take account of that, friend. He wants everybody. Verse number 13, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and listen and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan and possess it. So what did I say earlier? What are the three things? Reading the Bible, hearing the Bible, and doing the Bible. Guys, there it is right there. In a nutshell, Brother Giovanni can take that and then give a great message on a Sunday school about the Bible right there. God wants you to come to hear the man of God teach you and preach to you what? All the words of God's word in the Bible. So you could hear it, so you could learn it, and so you could do it. Now, in the doing process, obviously, in this case, what is he saying? So you can fear God. But obviously, as you learn how to fear God, what are you going to do? You're going to do what he says for you to do. So, simple stuff. What do I do now with my life, Brother Carlos? I'm saved now. Well, do you work? Okay, well, here's New Testament Christian stuff. You ought to start giving to your church now because here's what he wants you to do to be a support. Okay, what do I do my free time, Brother Carlos? Well, if you're not married, then you ought to be serving a lot more because you're single, the Bible says. If you're married, you ought to be dedicating time to your family and to the Lord. It's a little bit more difficult, but you can do it. In other words, God has an answer for you is what I'm trying to tell you. But you got to learn by coming, and you got to have a heart to hear, to see, and then to do. But what is the key? And what is the answer to our problems? What is the prescription that Dr. Jesus would prescribe us to combat the spiritual infirmities that plague us from them that want to hinder us from hearing and learning and growing? Go to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to be in the New Testament now for a little bit, so don't worry. We're going to kind of finish off on this part about hearing, learning, so we can do. We're going to kind of focus on that a little bit. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, so we're going to be in the New Testament for a minute. Y'all can just kind of hang out over there. Matthew 11, verse number 15. I want to let Dr. Jesus give us the synopsis of our spiritual infirmities. I want you to let Jesus teach you why you and I have been acting the way we have been lately. And then I want you to let Dr. Jesus prescribe to you the medicine that you'll need. And I want you to trust Dr. Jesus that when you do it, you're going to get better in your spiritual health, okay? Matthew 11, verse 15. Can somebody read that for me? That's what we've been talking about all night. Do you have ears to hear, friend? Every time you come to church, do you come with a heart saying, Jesus, I am ready to hear you today? Or do you just come to satisfy someone else, to check the spiritual box, to say, I'm outwardly religious? Do you come to hear him? Do you come to learn from him? That's what he wants. Matthew 13, look at 15. What's our problem? What was their problem? And what do we need to guard our hearts with? Well, look in here. Matthew 13, 15. Bible says here, Matthew 13, 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. So where does it start with? Heart. What happens when we don't control our heart? What happens when we choose to turn to the right or to the left, like the Old Testament said? Before you know it, you're gonna become dull of hearing. Before you know it, you're going to become dull of seeing. And before you know it, you're not going to want to hear anymore. You're going to become stubborn or stiff-necked, as we've been reading about the Old Testament Israelites. You're not going to want to anymore. Brother and sister, can I ask you a question? How was your hearing tonight? How was your eyesight, spiritually speaking? Can you hear clearly? Can you see clearly? If I were to ask you right now how you're doing in your spiritual walk with God, can you give me an answer in the love of Christ? Yeah, Brother Carlos, I've been doing good. I've been in my word. I've been in prayer, keeping myself pure. Or will you say, Brother Carlos, man, I don't know what I've been doing lately. I kind of don't know what I should do there. Are you dull of hearing? Is your eyesight okay? If you think there's some things going on, or if there's some hindrances going on, then what do you have to do? Start listening again. That's it. Sounds profound, right? Start listening again. Start reading again and start drawing back to God. And you know what the Bible promises you? I don't have it here, but this is just by memory. If you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. That's the answer. Are you keeping them open, or are you closing them against the words of God? When you and I choose to close our ears, close our eyes, our hearts will grow in carnal fatness from receiving through those members into the inner man. So notice what the Lord said. When the people of Israel rebelled against wanting to hear the words of God, it grew gross. What does that mean? It just grew thick and fat, if you will. And I'm just giving you that carnal insight there. When you and I as Christians, the same thing, our heart can become carnally fat. No wonder why you don't want to hear. No wonder why you can't see. You just got some carnality up in there. Mark chapter 4, what does it look like then, Brother Carlos, when someone is listening? What is it like when someone's hearing? And what is it like when someone is drawing near to God? Can you give me some scripture to encourage me now after you kind of rebuke me in love? I will. I'm right there with you. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse number 20. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. So what do I need to start doing then, Brother Carlos, to start hearing better, seeing better, and then growing and doing? You need to receive the Word of God. As soon as the Word of God shows you something that you need to do, do it. Receive it. You know what the Lord said? That's good ground. Now he can work with that. Now you'll be able to start seeing better, hearing more clearly, and all the carnal fatness will begin to, shrink and shrink, because the Holy Spirit of God has taken the Holy Word of God and helping you to bear fruit now. But you have to start with what? Receiving it. Take it a step further. Luke chapter 6. Now this is really good. I hope you guys can turn there with me. Excuse me. Luke 6. This is really good. It's always a matter of the heart. You guys know that. I always teach you behind this pulpit. It starts with the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Listen now in Luke chapter 6. I'm going to show you now what Jesus said. This is Dr. Jesus. Amen. I'm just taking his words and giving it to you. It starts with the heart, and now it's the condition of the heart. Now listen, Luke 6, verse number 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Keep reading with me now. In Luke chapter 8, what is he saying? Unto you who are ready to listen. Those of you tonight at Simple Faith Baptist, who of you are ready to hear your Savior? Well, he's going to help you. Those of you who don't want to hear him and you're just playing religion, you're not going to grow. You're not fooling him. He knows the heart. Luke 8, look in verse number 15. Here it is. That on the good ground are they which in a what? Honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Ooh. So what did Dr. Jesus say? Our heart condition will determine how we respond to God's word. If you have a good heart, you're going to receive it. If you have an evil heart, you're going to rebel against it. That's what it comes down to, brother and sister. It doesn't come down, again, to your lack of knowledge. It doesn't come down to anyone outside you. I already showed you. I proved that to you tonight. You can't blame no one else but yourself. It's a heart condition. Jesus said, for those of you who are hearing me, that's what he said in Luke 6, I say unto you which hear, here it is. You want to bear fruit? You want to grow in godliness as a husband, as a wife? You want to be that much more involved in ministry? For those of you who have a desire to participate with your church and you want to read your Bible and you want to do all that more? Okay, well, what did Jesus tell you? Do you have a good heart? Do you have an honest heart? Or do you have a secret heart, a hypocritical heart? Do you hate him still, remember? Well, according to Jesus, if you have a good heart and it's an honest heart, whenever you hear that word, you're going to keep it. And then you will bring forth fruit with patience. If we have an honest and good heart, we will desire to want to keep hearing so we could learn how to do them. But what's the inverse truth? If our hearts are evil and not honest, you're not going to want to hear. You're going to rebel and therefore not keep his words. That's the warning from your Savior. You're in the same chapter. You now go down to verse 18. Watch this. Same God. Same God. Look at verse 18. Take heed, therefore, what? How ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. I like that. Oh, I'm spiritual, Brother Carlos. Look at me. I got a King James Bible. Really? Really? You're coming around boasting that you got that, but everything else in your life is rotten. Everything else in your life is secret. You're not doing nothing for Christ. You don't even want to. Whatever you think you got, the Lord's going to take care of you. Amen. But those of you who have it, those of you who have that little heart of faith and that little heart of goodness and that little heart of humility and honesty, Brother Carlos, I don't got it all. I know I got a King James Bible. I'm still studying. I want to keep learning, though. Can you teach me? I will. But most of all, Jesus will teach you. So remember, what did we read back there in Deuteronomy? Take heed to your heart that it doesn't turn aside. Remember that? You know what Jesus said? Take heed how you hear. So what do you need to protect? The heart. Luke 11. Look at Luke 11. I'm going to make this easy for you. Just bear with me a little bit more. Luke 11 with me, verse number 28. Bible says here, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You want Jesus to bless you? You want him to help you? You want him to hook you up and you want him to show you favor? The next time that you have an opportunity to spend with him in the privacy of your heart in prayer, read it and do it. You know what the Lord said? He'll bless you. No wonder why a lot of other things have been growing spiritual in your life then, because you've been telling Jesus, I'm more important. Friends, family, work is more important. And therefore, the Lord ain't going to bless that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, guys. We're almost done for the first half. Just give me a few more minutes. John chapter 8. We're talking about what? Hearing. Can you hear? John chapter 8. We're just talking about that quickly before we close. We'll end on that note about hearing. John 8. Look at verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Do you hear his word tonight? I hope you do. Look at verse number, same book there. John chapter 10, verse number 27. For those of you who say you're a Christian, the Bible calls you a sheep. But something about sheep, they follow their shepherd. And if you don't see yourself following the shepherd or other sheep out there, you know, other Christians not following him, that's all right. You follow him. Amen. Look at John 10:27. My sheep hear my what? Voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So again, the diagnosis, it's almost done. I hope you're still here with me. Is your heart still honest? Is your heart still good? Is it desiring to hear from him? Then if so, outwardly, you're going to want to continue to learn, to grow, to desire. You're going to follow him. You're going to do what he commands you to do. You will, because you love him. Almost then, John chapter 14, verse number 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me. How many of you guys, before we keep going, just raise your hand. How many of you guys love Jesus tonight? Raise your hand. How many of you guys love him? So what you're telling me before God, and I'm right there with you, what you just agree with me when you raise your hand is this, Brother Carlos, I love Jesus more than my spouse. I love him more than my children. I love him more than my government, my parents, my family. Brother Carlos, I love him more than me. Okay, now if you do, then listen to the shepherd. Listen to your Savior. He says here, verse number 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That's how your love for Jesus is proved before others. Your hatred against Christ is going to be manifested in what? You not keeping his words, and that's what's going to be manifest before others, even though you have a profession. You say, Brother Carlos, I got saved, amen, I got baptized, amen, I got a King James Bible, amen, but you don't do his word, it don't matter. It don't matter nobody. It don't matter nothing. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Let's keep it real. Look at what he says. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. It's not about trying to build a closer relationship with the pastor of a church or trying to gain favor with some of the Christian you really esteem and look up to and trying to be all this and that with some of the Christian over here to just have you, you know, pat your shoulder on the back and be like, oh, good job, Christian, I acknowledge you, thinking that men's commendation is really what's going to make you closer with God. Guys, did you just hear that with me? Did you read that with me? Jesus just said that if you hear my word and you keep it, you're the one that loves me, and in loving me, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to come to you. And not only that, my Father is going to come to you. You can't be no closer to God than that. Amen. How about that? How about that, friend? Keep reading, though. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. You know what Jesus said? You don't love me if you don't do what I say. For those of you who do what I say, you're the ones that love me. And that's there are two type of Christians going on right now in the world. Christian A, they're loving him because they're doing the best they can to respond to the word. I know we're not perfect. I know we're going to make mistakes. You understand what I'm saying? You're pursuing him is what I'm trying to say. And then there's Christian B, they hate him and they don't want anything to do with him. They're rebelling against him. Why? Because of carnality of the flesh and fill in the blank. Almost done. I hope you love him. That's right there. Do we love him or do we hate him? Our love for him will result in our obedience to his words. Our hatred towards him will result in our disobedience. We're almost done. Hebrews chapter 3. What are we talking about? Hearing. Where does it start? The heart condition. Hebrews 3, verse number 7. The Bible says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, look at verse number 8, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the days of temptation in the wilderness. And then he goes on later on, going back in the Old Testament about Israel's, right, their national rebellion against God. Look at verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. So what did Jesus say back there in Luke 6? I say unto you which hear. Remember that? He said that in Luke 6:27. Holy Spirit, you know what he said there in Hebrews 3? Today, if you will hear his voice. You know what that tells me? Every day, it's my choice. Do I want to hear Jesus' voice? Do I want to listen to him? Do I want to let him teach me? Do I want to let him instruct me? Do I want to let him correct me? Do I want to let him reprove me? Do I want to let him deliver me? Do I want to let him help me? Or I choose not to. I give more entertainment to spouse, family, friends, government, social media. Me, I hate him. I love them more. I don't want to hear him. Almost done. About hearing. Almost done. A couple minutes. Revelation chapter number 1, and I will end there. Revelation chapter 1. Look at with me now, verse number 3. This is easy. This is very easy. Revelation 1, 3, it kind of summarizes what we discussed this evening. Revelation 1, 3, here's what the Bible says. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So as I come to a close, what do we talk about? Reading the Bible, hearing the Bible, and then doing what the Bible tells me to do. And then let's take it a step further. I'm a Christian, this side of the cross, hearing the words of Jesus, listening to the words of Jesus, and then doing what Jesus wants me to do. And then let's take it one more step further. My heart, wanting to listen to his voice, wanting to learn from him and his voice, and then wanting to love him, to do what he tells me to do with my life in return, out of a heart of thankfulness and gratitude. I'll read these verses to you and I'll pray. You don't have to turn there. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Some of you, the reason why you don't have peace and stability within your heart and your spirit is because you're not coming to him and you're not learning from him. You know what he told you? You can only come to me to find that rest and peace you need. It's not in a pastor. It's not in a church. It's not in an ism of men. It's in him. John 6:45, it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned the Father cometh unto me. And then lastly, Ephesians 4:20-21, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So Jesus wants to teach you personally today. He wants to teach you daily his will for your life from the words found in the Holy Bible. He will never teach you anything contrary to what he's already revealed and recorded in the Bible that he's already preserved for you. Jesus Christ is the teacher. Jesus Christ is the counselor, Isaiah 9:6. My question to you, friend, is are you coming to him to let him teach you? Are you seeking him to let him teach you? Are you desiring for him to teach you today? He wants you to learn of him. He wants you to learn from him. And he wants to protect your heart and your mind from all the evil Lucifer and false teacher seeks to offer you through temptation. It's safe to say today, friend, that there are two teachers that desire for you to try to come unto them to learn something that they're offering you. The first teacher is Jesus, the Son of God. The second is Lucifer, the evil cherub. One died for your sins, the other didn't. One loved you before you were born, the other hated you before you were born. One's nature is filled with all goodness and truth, the other's nature is filled with evil and lies. One will convict you of your evil and sins, the other will not, but tempt you to allure you to walk and enjoy those sins. I suppose the last reason why so many of us seek the old teacher at times, because in that classroom there is no conviction. In Christ's classroom there is. Now, I don't know about you, friend, but I'm tired of the shame my sins bring upon my conscience in the past, and I'm glad when I come to Jesus and I learn of him, I can obtain from him what I need from his word on how to live for him, acceptable, learning how to hear the word of God, learning how to do the word of God, and even just hearing it, I'm going to be blessed by God. So tonight, friend, those are the three things: reading his word, hearing his word, and doing his word. The reason we come tonight, the reason we come every time we gather, the reason we come at all of our meetings is to teach you how to learn more about how to fear your God. And so that way, when you and him spend that quality time, you can take that home with you, and you can continue to be a light everywhere you go. But now you can see it, friend. It's a hard attitude. Would you join me now, my friend, in prayer? And if that's you tonight, friend, if you're struggling with anything, I want to invite you once again to consider the love of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 15:16 that Jesus invites you to find grace from his throne. He has help for you in the time of need, but you need to come. And so if that's you tonight, would you come with me in prayer and let's all approach his throne as well to ask him of that help. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you've preserved in your holy record in the Bible. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given us so we can understand the Bible, so we can comprehend the Bible, so we can mature in our understanding and our intellect and our spiritual health can you continue to grow. Lord, tonight we have wives of husbands. We have husbands of wives. For those who were here a minute ago, single individuals, if you will. And tonight, God, your Bible gives them instruction and teaches them and comforts them on how to fulfill all those roles that they find themselves tonight in their life. My great God in heaven, we learn tonight from your Bible that it's a heart condition. I don't know where their heart is, but you do. I don't know if the state of their heart is good with an honest heart or if it's evil with a rebellious heart, only you do. But I just want to pray with them and pray for them, and I'm going to put myself right in their God, is that we need help to love you more. We need help with this wretched flesh, this desire that fights us and combats us daily, the old man that steals away our heart from you, Lord. We need you to strengthen us. We need you to give us more love for you and desire for you, God, when those things try to creep up back in there to cause us to want to hate you and love them more than you, when you should be loved more and they should be loved less. Lord, tonight, I just pray that you would strengthen every single member of this church in their love for you, so they would willingly desire you. They would willingly pray to you. They would willingly set apart time to learn from you and to be taught from you, so that way they could be beneficial to someone outside of themselves. And God, until then, would you strengthen my heart? Keep my heart close to you. And I want to see and feel your love and the Father's love drawing to me when I love you, so that, God, I can have enough love for them when they're in their lowest of times. And even when they're in their highest of times, I can come alongside them and still be a Spirit-filled Christian to keep them going in encouragement. So God, whatever these individuals need tonight, I pray that you talk to them about it. I pray that you spoke to them about it in their heart and their ear. And if any of them are dual, let them know, God, that it's as simple as starting tonight once again in their heart, listening. It's as simple as reading. And then it's as simple as doing. Lord, you said you would bless that. So God, would you help them? Help me. Help our church. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do for us to be more like your Son, Jesus. We thank you ahead of time now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. Thank you for coming tonight. Hope and pray you have a safe trip back home. May the Lord bless you.